Our first reading today is from Exodus. This is from the Common English Bible translation. The whole Israelite community broke camp and set out from the Sin Desert to continue their journey as the Lord had commanded. They set up camp at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. People argued with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why are you arguing with me? Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people were very thirsty for water there, and they complained to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are getting ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go ahead of the people and take some of Israel's elders with you. Take in your hand a shepherd's rod that you used to strike the Nile River, and go. I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Hit the rock, water will come out of it, and the people will be able to drink." Moses did so while Israel's elders watched. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites argued with and tested the Lord, are asking, "Is the Lord really with us or not?" Here ends the reading.
Our gospel reading today is from the fourth chapter of John's account of Jesus. Like the first reading, it also deals with water and thirst. Those who heard about this in Jesus' time would have been very upset. Perhaps we will be too. Listen now for God's word in the midst of these words. On his way, he came to the town of Sychar. It was near the field that Jacob had long ago given to his son Joseph. The well that Joseph had dug was still there, and Jesus sat down beside it because he was tired from traveling. It was noon, and after Jesus' disciples had gone into town to buy some food, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. Jesus asked her, "Would you please give me a drink of water?" "You are a Jew," she replied, "and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink of water when Jews and Samaritans won't have anything to do with each other?" Jesus answered, "You don't know what God wants to give you, and you don't know who is asking you for a drink. If you did, you would ask me for the water that gives life." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this life-giving water?" "Our ancestor Jacob dug this well for us, and his family and animals got water from it. Are you greater than Jacob?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again, but no one who drinks the water I give will ever be thirsty again. The water I give is like a flowing fountain that gives eternal life." Here ends the reading, but may the listening continue.
Let us pray. We too thirst for that water that gives life. We pray that we'll find it, O God, not in human words, but in the way that your Spirit addresses ours and calls us, in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been reading some tough words about water, I suspect, recently. We who live in the desert Southwest are told rather regularly that we are running out of water. And yet the building boom goes on, and we live in an economy based on the construction of new homes and lots of new buildings. So exactly how that is going to all work out remains to be seen. Rationing is already underway and may be coming to a faucet near you and me. So when Jesus went to Jacob's well and encountered the Samaritan woman there, rationing was already underway. It was a natural kind of rationing because you could only drink what you could carry. A lot of us would be in trouble, wouldn't we? We understand water. When the Bible uses this image, we get it, those of us who live in a desert environment. Doesn't have to be interpreted for us. And the lack of it is something that rumbles around in the back of our minds, or the front. It's an image that never has to be explained to me. When we first moved to Arizona from New England, I was still soggy wet with the humidity there. And no one explained to me how important it was to drink lots and lots and lots of water. More than you could ever imagine was necessary. And as many of you know, I took up my spot on the car lot. And on one of the first days I was there in August, it was rather hot. Yes, it was. And along about 3 or 4 hours into the day, I was sent out to retrieve a car that a customer wanted to test drive. Now, of course, the customers got to come in where the air conditioning was, sit down, have some water, rest and relax while the slugs went out to get the cars. You know how hot those steering wheels are? Well, we were about halfway through that test drive when I realized I was in trouble. But I didn't know exactly what was going on. I just realized all of a sudden that I wasn't entirely sure of how to get us back to the dealership. We got back. It was okay. I was given water and put in a cool room for a couple of hours, but I learned what it means to be without water. And when those Hebrews were camping in the desert, having followed Moses' lead out of Egypt, which seemed like ever such a good idea at the time, let's get out of this place and these horrible Egyptians, without water, it suddenly seemed like Egypt was a great place. And maybe we ought to go around. Let's first take care of Moses, and then let's go back. Well, most of us have learned to drink physical water and stay hydrated. Most of us have. Frank is still learning that. Frank, there you are. So, I'm telling you right from the pulpit, drink lots of water. The lack of water, though, may not be the physical water. We may have hit an arid patch in life. We do regularly, if we're going to be honest about it. And if we're going to be fully honest, maybe some of us came in here dry, dry, dry to the bone, hoping for some water that gives life. If maybe that's you, then maybe both of these passages that we have shared have something for you, and particularly the first one. If you are in one of those waterless spots in your life when it seems that nothing will ever be rich and full of color again, on the strength of that first lesson about the Hebrews, my suggestion to you is bang on the rocks. Because that's where the water likely is. Do you know what I mean by the rocks? The rocks are the last place you would look for water ordinarily. The least intuitive of places. The place no one is telling you to go and bang looking for water. It might be people that don't seem to have anything to offer to you. Or it might be a circumstance in your life that you had given up on that you thought was absolutely and utterly empty and dry. From there, water can rush. And it can be wells in your soul and not sand. Geologists will tell us about what happened here. Certain types of sandstone, they say, will trap water. And eons and eons and eons ago, in the process of creation and all the geologic amazing things that happened with the earth. Wells of water were trapped in the middle of the desert, ready to be harvested just in that moment. You mean to tell me that the great God of creation, who is in charge of so many layers of reality, could have set in place, just for those complaining and murmuring, kvetching, I think is the right word, slaves coming out of Egypt, just the water they needed, just at the moment they needed it? That is the witness of Exodus, exactly. And in a similar way for you and for me, if we can step aside from the kvetching for just a little bit, we too can bang on the most unlikely of rocks and find wells of unexpected water. That was somewhat the theme of the session that went in King Hall earlier this morning. By the way, that series has come to an end, and I again want to publicly thank Dave and Ellen Van Arsdale for that terrific series. And I think, yeah, I know we're not supposed to applaud, but in this case, I think it's well deserved. Years ago, I was serving a church that had a family in it that seemed to be living under a perpetual dark cloud. You know what I mean? It just seemed as though for that mother and dad and three kids that nothing ever quite worked the way it did for other people. Situation after situation happened for them. They were always on the financial edge of the cliff, and then one of them was laid off. It was desperation time. Right about that same time, in the next community, a young child needed extensive medical treatment. Their insurance was not adequate to cover the need. And so the call went out, particularly to the churches in the surrounding area. Would there be people willing to help this family? And of course there were. But would you care to guess which family was the first one to come forward with a donation? You don't have to guess, do you? Absolutely. It was the Westovers. My jaw fell down to my feet, I think, when they did that. Talk about banging on rocks. But I have seen it again and again and again. Generosity trumps desperation every single time in every single form. It did then, and it does now. So if you're in that arid, dry spot, try banging on some rocks. It might be wells with your soul. Jesus met that woman at the well. And in doing so, I think you probably realize he broke nearly every rule that was going. Unattached women, well, women in general, were not supposed to approach men. It would have been wise for her to wait at a distance until he had moved away, but she didn't. Men were never supposed to initiate conversations with women who were not their property. Yes, that was the way it was. If they were married to a man, they were his property, and he may then talk with her. Other men were forbidden. And yet Jesus did exactly that. Unrelated man speaking to woman, and to make it just all the worse, she was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. Or that was what they were supposed to do. In terms of the society of the day and the labels applied one to the other, this was a situation that never, never, never should have happened. If we were looking for a scripture to attach to that little slogan on our bulletin every week, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, this might be a really good scripture to attach because it fits. And for those rooted in the holiness code of Leviticus, both this man and this woman qualified to be stoned to death. Moses also was in fear of being stoned. Isn't that interesting? Sell us short on some water and we're ready to do some damage. It definitely was a scene of some great tension. And I believe part of the reason Jesus wound up being executed was that he had a way of annoying the religious elite really down to their bones. So Jesus speaks with her, talks about the living water, and says to her, even in the midst of her life situation, it can be wells with her soul as well. She does not have to accept the labels and the stereotypes that others have placed on her. I've confessed before the stereotypes with which I came to Sun City. I've told you what I was expecting out of you old people, and how humbled I was almost instantly. And now that I have edged my way in your direction, it's offensive to me how we are stereotyped by others. And we are, aren't we? We are. We happen to be in the majority here, so it's safe for us to come in here, but it isn't necessarily very safe for older people to go into other religious communities. We get ignored and sidetracked and told in word or in deed to go sit in the corner and be cute and be quiet and let those of us who know what we're doing run things. You've probably been in those situations. Well, there are lots of categories in life in which that happens to people. For a long time, there were racial categories, and there still are. Cultural categories, categories of sexuality. Stereotype after stereotype after stereotype. In this lesson, in this great gospel lesson from John's version of the life of Jesus, we are urged to set all of that aside and find the wells of living water in us and in them and take a good, long, solid drink, because that's where life really is. So some of us do come today rather parched. In a long life's journey that lies before us, there may be many times when we feel really dry and really angry at our leaders. There's a sabbatical time coming up when I'm going to be out of your sight and touch for a few weeks. So that's going to be a dry run for us as a church family. And you may find yourself out there at Meribah wondering where the water is. My suggestion to you is take it easy on Pastor Judy and Cindy and Jim and the other leaders. Take a step back, bang on some rocks, would you? Because there will be water there in unexpected places, and it can gush incredibly, and it can be wells with your soul. Whatever your circumstances are today, no, please, God has been there before you. And with the witness and in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I assure you and me that wherever it is we are headed, there is water there, water that gives life. Give it away, would you? Onward. Amen.